Begin. Just like to mention that for those of you that are not aware, that after we finish learning Chavos Talmidim, there's a small group of us in the front that learn Sefer Pele Yoyetz. We choose a different topic every week. Pele Yoyetz is a Sefer written by Rabbi Eliezer Papel. He lived in a small town in Bulgaria called Silestra. He was an absolutely exceptional person. He dafka wanted to live somewhere quiet where no one would make a big deal out of him. So he chose this little Dorfala, this little small little town where he lived. And he wrote the Sefer Pele Yoetz. Pele Yoetz is a Sefer on different topics. That's the way they used to write Sfarim back in the day. They're just a whole list of topics. And every week we just pick another topic. Or usually this week we're going to be continuing what we did last week. And there's a lot of miracles that people have recorded about the Pele Yoetz. The first one that I heard was when my first time that I went to the Pele Yoetz, right before we actually weren't planning on going. We were in Bulgaria in Sofia, which is the exact total end of Bulgaria, the other side. And the rabbi in Sofia told us that when he went to the Pele Yoetz, he brought a minion on the Pele Yoetz's yard site. So there was a lady that 10 years didn't have children. She asked him to please daven that she should have children. He's going with a minion. So he davened that she should have children. And he hadn't heard from her. And he was on his way to the Pele Yoetz the next year on his yard site. And the husband called up very, very excited that my wife just had a baby. And he said, "You realize that today is exactly a year to the day when you asked me to go to the Pele Yoetz to daven for by his tzion. And they had this child." That was the first time I went to the Pele Yoetz. There was a group of boys that the entire group was supposed to go skiing, and there was a group of boys that decided instead of going skiing, we're going to go to the Pele Yoetz. We drove 8 hours to get there and 8 hours to get back. We were by the Pele Yoetz for around an hour and a half. And a lot of people saw very big yeshuas on that trip, came over to me privately and said that I was davening for something. By the tzion, those of you that have been there, it says by the tzion that if a person is tovel in the mikvah and davens with kavana, then the Pele Yoetz is maftiach, he guarantees that his tefillos are going to be in his kavel. And I myself saw very special things that we davened for that came true when we went to the Pele Yoetz. So the Pele Yoetz, the story, the end of his life was there was a plague in Bulgaria. So people came to the Pele Yoetz and asked them what they should do. And the Pele Yoetz told them, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." And he died the next day and the plague stopped. So the Pele Yoetz took the hit for everyone else. That was the Pele Yoetz, that was the end of his life. Anyway, you're talking about a person that's saturated in special, Chochmas Anistar, and everything he writes there is veiled references to different ideas in all the Kabbalistic sources. It's a very interesting Sefer. There's a lot of poetry in the Sefer. If you want to join us afterwards, you're welcome to. We just learned it for around 5-7 minutes after we finished the Sefer Chovetz Talmidim. So here we are. We're in the ninth Perek. The last thing we spoke about is when a person learns that he has to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We asked the million-dollar question. We said the million-dollar question is, some people are, you're probably thinking, Betach Shola Nafshcha, you have this question inside of your heart, which is, I learn a lot of Torah, and why don't I feel like I'm going anywhere? So we said that the PSS that says a person has to connect with what's laying underneath the Torah. He has to be able to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Realize the Torah is not just some sort of abstract form of intellect or knowledge, something that you take in a class. It's not something that you get credits for. Torah is something that is supposed to be dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you don't realize that, you haven't scratched the surface of what Torah is supposed to accomplish. And he says when a person has this, we called it a delicate dance, because you have to be thinking about what you're learning. You're learning about the sugya of maskir and soicher and bayis, cheskes barak, eno barak, whatever you're learning about in psachim, tamid nishchat, whatever about the korb musaf and the nesachim and everything. Whatever you're learning about, you have to think about that. On the other hand, you want me to think about Hashem, so how do I do it? You kind of have to get yourself in the zone. You have to prepare yourself beforehand. And when you do that, then you start learning, so then your neshama automatically gravitates towards the Torah. So just one eitzah on that topic is before you learn, there's a Yehi Ratzon that they have. Most of the Gemaras have them written in the front of the Gemara. That a person says Yehi Ratzon, he makes a prayer, a tefillah, that he should. It's all tefillah. If you look in your Gemara, many people have it. And it kind of like takes the Torah and it prepares you that when you're learning Torah, it should be something that is divine. A person says that tefillah, that before he walks into the Beis Medrash, or when he sits down before he starts learning, it's most people have it on the flap inside of their Gemara. You say that tefillah and it kind of like puts you in the right perspective. So that's as far as the tefillah is concerned. And that tefillah, it brings out the neshama inside of you while you're learning. Learning is about bringing out the neshama. And what we spoke about last time is that learning is not necessarily about something practical, right? Why, with a lot of things that we learn are not practical. Most of the mesechtas we learn, nashim nezikim, is not practical. It's not something that moyed is practical, right? So right now we're learning psachim, it is practical. But a lot of times you learn gittin. But as a person, there's going to be a person who, you know, if there's ever something that has to do with the get, so there's a Masada Gittin who does it. Doesn't mean any of us are ever going to have anything, any ever even see a get in their life. Right? Doesn't mean they ever see a get. Ksubis. There'll be a Masada Kedushin. I'll take care of it for you. What do I have to know about these things? But and then there's things that are mamish, not shayach. Like in Perek Ben Sayre Umayre in Sanhedrin, which never ever happened of Ben Sayre Umayre. So now we learn this entire Masechta. Right? Or this entire perek, Ben Sayre Umayre, and it's something that's all, it's all theoretical. Why? Because Torah is not about it being practical. It's about connecting with the Borei Olam, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about getting underneath it. A person can learn the same blot of Gemara 101 times. 101 times. What's the point of learning Gemara 101 times? So someone else said a pshat over here. I'm trying to remember who said this pshat. Maybe some of you were here, but maybe it was, I think it was Rabbi, the Manal, Rabbi Rosenbaum, that in a doyme, Misha loymed, mea pamim, le mea va'achas. Mea va'achas means you learn mea with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, from the Nesiva Shalom. Learn with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? That it's not just learning, you're getting past the surface to connecting with the Kodesh Baruch Hu when you're learning. My father, Zol Zayin Gazun, said over from his Rebbe, Reb Salavechik, a different pshat. He said, mea va'achas, 101 times is the pshat. It's like, I can learn this a million times. Meva Achas means you've gone past 100. You're like, you're beyond, you broke through. And I'll learn the same Gemara over and over and over and over again. And there are people that have learned things so many times. Why? Because it's not about just amassing the knowledge. It's about you're touching the divine. You're getting a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you learn. One page Ayin Beis in the new printing. I'm not sure in the old printing if anyone has one. You can tell us where we're up to. Aval adover ze lo toifu. Ma shegam hanefesh shelcha shebo ata roitza lis alus lis karev ne'elma mimena. Yeah. Musteres he begufcha v'yishena he begash miyuscha. It's not good. Dover zeh loy toifu, we're like mamash in the middle of a flow, in the middle of a sentence. It's not good that your nefesh, that you're trying to elevate and you're trying to draw, is hidden from you. And it's musteres, it's being blocked inside of your guf. And it's sleeping in your gashmius. You see, the way it works is, our neshama is being covered by our guf. Our neshama is covered by our guf. And the more layers of guf a person puts on his neshama, the more the neshama is being suffocated. And our neshama, it doesn't breathe. It doesn't come out. So it's almost like you can't hear the signal. Because the neshama is under layers and layers of guf. So that's not a good thing. A person has to try to bring out his neshama. If you do not awaken your neshama, it's sleeping a sleep of a lifetime. Shnas oilam. And you don't remove it, reveal it. It's like buried, and it's got layers and layers of things on top of it, and you've got to open up because the neshama is there. Then how do you expect to have an aliyah? How are you going to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Every person has a neshama inside of him. It's just the neshama sometimes has been covered by so many layers, it's caked in so many layers of gashmias, that the neshama is something that you can't even feel it. And you're not in touch with it at all. So we have to peel away layers of gashmias. There's a Muradik Rambam, Rabbi say. It's Mamish. I remember when I heard this Rambam, it was probably 25 years ago, and the Rambam really shook me. The Rambam says, there's a Rambam in his Hakdama to Mishnayos, that a person has a choice, and you have to choose. There's two different lives a person can live. Either a person can choose to have tikkun hanefesh v'churbun haguf, either you could choose that you can perfect your nefesh, your neshama, and you could break your guf, churbun haguf, or churbun hanefesh v'tikkun haguf. Those are the two options. You can't have them both. Tikkun hanefesh, Rambam was not known as being an extremist, by the way. The Rambam is always, people try to think of themselves as being like moderate, so they say they're like the Mamadians. They're like, I follow the Rambam. This is the Rambam. You have two choices. Tikkun hanefesh, churbun haguf, or churbun hanefesh, tikkun haguf. Which one? What's the pshat in Rambam? I think this is the pshat, Rabbi Yisai. Your nefesh is underneath your guf. If you don't break open your guf, if you just keep like adding layers of more gashmias and more gashmias, and you're so busy and you're consumed with your guf, your neshama is just going to be buried underneath there, and you're not going to be able to feel it. So either you've got to break your guf, and that's Torah. Torah is a sacrifice, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Kachi darka shel Torah, pas b'melech toichel, mayim mesura tishteh, which is you have to eat just bread, drink water, ala arts tishon, v'chaye tzar tichya. Torah takes sacrifice. It's the way it goes. It's not a coincidence, Rabbi Yisai, that Rabbi Akiva, who became the great Rabbi Akiva, that his sacrifice was tremendous in order to be able to learn. They had nothing. They slept on the floor. And the sacrifice was to the point, Rabbi Kiva's wife, the way it was Rabbi Kiva was a shepherd, and he worked for a very, very wealthy man. Does anyone know what this person's man was, his employer? Kalba Savua was a wealthy man. And he knew how to shtel Kalba Savua. If you came in hungry like a dog, you went out full. Kalba Savua. You came in like a kalba, you went out Savua. He would shtel. He was a giver. He was like shteller. And he was chashif. And his daughter saw something in this shepherd Amaretz that she decided that she wanted to marry him. And he was not maskim. The shver was not maskim. He was very upset at his daughter. As a matter of fact, she said, you marry him, you're out. You're not getting a penny from me. Well, Rabbi Kiva didn't have much money. How much money do you make as a shepherd? So they lived like paupers. They slept on straw. This is a girl who lived in the lap of luxury. Her father was the Parnes Hador. And now she's sleeping on straw. And then poor people came. And they needed something. So Rabbi Kiva said, let's give them our straw. So what do we need? We have to, we'll sleep on the floor. They had nothing. Nothing. Could you imagine? Ala Oretz Tishon, Kipshutoi. He didn't see his wife for 24 years. He didn't see his wife, his family, nothing. That's the way it's gonna work. We think that we're constantly, we have to stay in our comfort zone. Every time there's like, my third cousin is getting married, so I have to go to America because I want to be by the Eifruf and I want to be by the Shever Brachas because my family's gonna get together and all. It's not gonna work. This is that learning takes sacrifice, because there's an idea, you've got to break out your neshama. You've got to reveal that neshama. Person's got to show to himself where my priorities are. Where, what am I? Am I about my body? Or am I about my neshama? What's important to me? My Torah? My ruchnias? My opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael to learn? Or the fact that I get to go to camp and have a good time and I'm going to jump up and down and it's going to be a lot of fun? And if a person has to make a choice, you can't have them both. They're like, I have a little of this, and I have a little bit of that. It'll be great. It'll be fun. It'll really be wonderful. And I can juggle both of them. No, you can't. It's the Rambam, very moderate, says that you can't do that. A person's got to choose in his life. Which direction are you going at? Are you going to sacrifice your neshama for your guf, or your guf for your neshama? And once a person does that, he's willing to sacrifice his guf for his neshama, all of a sudden layers start coming off. Layers start coming off. The guf starts disappearing, and the neshama starts coming out. And he starts feeling his neshama. And he starts like enjoying his learning more, and he's connecting more with his learning. I want to tell you something. People make a misconception about Rabbi Akiva. You think Rabbi Akiva is one of those kids that he probably never went to yeshiva or whatever it was. He never really tried that hard. He never really learned. Rabbi Saul Salanter says that's not the pshat at all. You think he started at 40. No, Rabbi Akiva started at 40. He did not start at 40. Rabbi Akiva chapped at 40. Says Rabbi Saul Salanter, Rabbi Akiva was in yeshiva. And he went to yeshiva and he sat there. And he felt like he had a head of stone. Nothing was going in. He sat there and he's like, I'm so thick-headed. It's like I got a head of stone. And it's just not working. And he was frustrated, Rabbi Akiva. He was frustrated. He was jealous. He was angry. He hated Talmidei Chachamim. Why did he hate them? Because he was jealous. I tried, it didn't work. He hated them. He said, I wanted to bite them and break their bones. Till he saw there was like this water dripping on stone. And every time it dropped, it looked like it wasn't doing anything. But if you just kept dripping and dripping and dripping and dripping, and you just keep at it, then something's going to happen. And water can work its way through stone. And Rabbi Akiva realized, you know, I think I'm going to have to do it again, and I'm going to do it different this time. I'm doing it different. I'm not taking off for weddings. I'm not taking off because I got to go see the sights. I'm going to stick to it. 24 years, Rabbi Akiva just totally zoned in. And day after day after day, and he was revealing levels of Gashmius. They were just peeling off Gashmius, and his guf was coming off, and his neshama was coming out. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Akiva became so huge. Rabbi Akiva was so huge that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva's Ruach HaKodesh, and he said, oh my goodness, why am I the one giving the Torah? Let it be him. This is someone who was a lo yutzlach in yeshiva. He was a failure. He was the guy that everyone said, he's not cut out for learning. Forget about him. Send him to work. You know what I mean? He's that guy. And he said, no. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to keep pushing. And I'm going to make it happen. And he revealed the neshama. Because there's certain times we can't learn because our guf is suffocating our neshama. You got to let it out. And how does that happen? Avodano shehakitzas nefesh hakdoisha loike akitzas guf hayoshenhu. You want to awaken your neshama, the nefesh hakdoisha. It doesn't happen like you wake up a person's body, guf hayoshenhu. When you wake up someone's body, so they wake up right away. Or at least they're supposed to wake up right away. Some people feel it's a process. But in theory, you wake someone up and they're up. In theory, that can be. With some people, it's that way. But with no one, is it that way in the nefesh. Aval es ha-nefesh rak behasmodas ha-avoyde shemachrichin oisoy lavad yochel ha-hokitz. It has to be hasmoda, tumid, constant avoider. You have to keep pushing because the neshama doesn't wake up in a second. It has to be day after day, constantly, a person has to be working on himself, and he's slowly getting out, his neshama is slowly getting out of his slumber. And Klal Yisrael was trying to get somewhere. We had a goal, and that goal was to get to somewhere we're ready to be makabel Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have to count day after day, Sviras HaOimer is Sheva Shabbos is Temimois, constant, can't miss a day, keep going. Every single day you're working and you're working. That's what it takes in order for a person to awaken his neshama. What does hasmada means? Consistency. It means consistency. And if a person is one day in, one day out, it's not going to go. Many of you have heard the mashal. A person wants to heat up a pot on the stove. So you put on the pot on the stove for a minute, and you take it off, and you put it back on for a minute, you take it off, and you put it back on for a minute, and you take it off. Right? You can have the pot on the fire for 20 minutes, it's not going to get hot. Because every time you take it off, so it cools off again, then you put it back on, you take it back off, you put it back on, take it back off. You're not going to get anywhere. Someone else just puts the pot on the fire for 5 minutes, and the pot's boiling. Because every time you take the pot off the fire, you're losing your momentum. Hasmada means consistency. And probably the most famous vart from Chaim Shmulevitz. This is the most famous vart from Chaim Shmulevitz. He asked the question. Rabbi Akiva spent 12 years away from his wife. And he's coming home like he promised. And he's there at the door. And he listens to a conversation going on inside the house. And he hears his wife is talking to a neighbor. And the neighbor says, why don't you just divorce this guy already? Just divorce him. 12 years, he hasn't even come say hello to you? You don't need him. Find someone else. So she said to her neighbor, if my husband would leave for another 12 years, I wouldn't have any tightness. And Rabbi Akiva heard that, and he turned around, and he went back to yeshiva. And another 12 years, 24 years, 24,000 talmidim. Frektum Chaim Shmulevitz, famous Kasher Rabbosai, you're standing there by the door, you're right there, your wife just committed to another 12 years of letting you learn by Mesiras Nefesh. Knock on the door, say, honey, thank you so much. At least tell everything's good. What? He turned around and left without even saying hello. Why did he do that? Zok the Heiliger of Chaim Shmulevitz, 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24. 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24. If he would have gone in and he would have connected with his wife, it would have broken up the streak. And he knew that he couldn't do that. And everything was going to cool off. He's going to lose the momentum. That's the temidus, that's the hasmada, that's the consistency. And it takes resilience, Rabbi say. It takes endurance. It takes when a person's he's tired, he's not in the mood, the sugi's not going well, he's got friends that are going places, whatever it might be, person has to be able to overcome all of that. And you do that, and you'll see change guaranteed. Guaranteed. You'll become a different person. Rabbi Akiva was a shock. What happened to Rabbi Akiva? A shock. I'm talking about a person that no one thought he was going to go anywhere. And he became the greatest person around. There was someone named Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berliner. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berliner was from a very prestigious family. Very, very prestigious family. He's from the family of Reb Chaim Voloshin. He's from the family of Reb Chaim Berliner. The Berliner family was like a real... That was like the most aristocratic family in all of Europe was the Voloshin family. And he was part of that family. And he, Nebuch, just couldn't get it together. They couldn't get it together. And he was like, talking to the people and learning, and he was always wrong. He was just, his cheshbon was wrong, his pshat was wrong, everything was wrong. Poor kid. One day he's sitting at the Shabbos table with the family and they're talking and learning, and he says a pshat, and like he sees everyone's like rolling their eyes, they're like, you know, and they like shlug them up in front of everyone. And something happened and it bothered him a lot. Not that he felt embarrassed, but he felt shame for himself. What's going to be with me? And he ran out of the house, and he ran to the Beis Medrash. And he sat in that Beis Medrash, and he just plugged away. And he was sitting there, his hasmada was so exceptional that in Volozhin there was like a challenge, who could be in the Beis Medrash when Naftali Tzvi Yehuda is not in the Beis Medrash? He was always there. He was always there. They're trying to find times after Maariv, early in the morning, you know, Yom Kippur, maybe you'll find during the, they couldn't, he was always in the basement. The guy never left. He became known by his acronym, by his Rashi Tevis, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berliner is Netziv. He was like a pillar. He was like a pillar in the Beis Medrash. The pillar never moved. He never moved. And then he started putting out Svarim. And he put out a sefer called The Harchev Dover. And the family didn't believe it. It's like, no way. This is him. It can't be. He can't learn. How? It's not possible. And then he put out Hamek Dover. And then he put out Hamek Shaila. And then he put out Merumei Sadeh. And then he put out Chidush HaNetziv. And he was pounding out Svarim. He became Rosh Yeshiva's Volozhin. He became the Rosh Yeshiva together with Reb Chaim Brisker. This is someone who was the family loser. But you know what happened? He stuck to it. He kept on learning. The hasmada is the difference. And he was there all the time, zoned in. And there's absolutely no one in this room who can say, this is not for me. I tried it, it didn't work. If we're going to do this, and if we really want to do this, we've got to take it to a whole different level of hasmada. Ki yochol ha'ish la'asois mitzvahs biyadov b'chol eivarov af b'fiv le'espalel v'hanefesh gam oz tishon af tis alef. A person can do mitzvahs. He can be busy with his entire body, with his hands, even with his mouth speaking. He could be davening. And inside of him, he's sleeping, he's even faint. His neshama is like totally unconscious. Mitzvahs anashim milumada means he's just doing things by rote. It's just, he's going through the motions. There's no neshama in this at all. There's no heart in this at all. A person can be a good guy. He's a good guy. But the neshama is totally unconscious. Tzrichim lahachriach es hanefesh yisavoid v'hitifol u'bezet te'or v'tisgala. A person's got to work on what we call pnimius. Work on what's inside of me. Work on a person being connected emotionally, spiritually. And he has to work on his neshama. And be ma'or the neshama. Al-kein. Gam b'chol hayoim. Af b'sho she'en ataloy me Torah. The entire day, even when you're not learning Torah, Tizkor she'eved Hashem ato v'alecha le'iskasher boy. You have to stay focused. Focused. Remember, you're an Eved Hashem. Remember, you have to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just when you're learning. Not just when you're davening. Not just when you're in the Beis Medrash. Whatever a person's doing, he has to be doing it. Remain focused on the fact that I am doing this because it's part of my program to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that program includes the dining room. And the way a person goes through to the dining room, the way a person jockeys for position in order to get food in the dining room, that is going to see, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his mind? Is he thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's going into the dining room? Or is he just thinking about his goof? And the way a person plays ball when he's thinking, the way he acts, his behavior, that also is going to be an indication of whether or not, you know, I was talking to a bachur once, in a very good yeshiva, he says, listen, I get to the basketball court, That's my space. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I leave you in the Beis Medrash. This is my space. This is my space. That's a horrible thing to say. And he didn't make it, by the way. He didn't make it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be every single part of our life. Everywhere we go. There are halachas in every single detail of our life for a reason. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember when we're putting on our shoes. Think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're sitting in the bathroom, there's halachas of how you sit in the bathroom. You think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're walking down the street, you think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single thing a person does, there's halachas in how to do them because you have to constantly be connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Choshev, here he goes. Chazek es amunascha b'Hashem. A person has to be mechazek, is amun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chashoiv kama pamim b'yon. Think many times in the course of the day.
Ani mamin b'Hashem yisbarach be'emes u'b'leiv shalem.
A person has to remind himself of his emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avi u'malki, borli she'ata adon ha'olam asher barasa es kol ha'olamos. I am, it's clear to me, it is, I'm certain that you created all of the worlds, v'chol asher behem, v'hamalochim, v'shamayim, af abriyos, aktanois, asher mitachas la'aretz, you created the malochim, you created the abriyos, everything, ata mekif oisu, you're surrounding me, u'memale es gufi v'ruchni, and you are full in my body and in my spirit, avducha ani, I'm your servant, v'lechol kol atzmi masur. And everything about me is yours, Hashem. Everything's yours. There's no such thing as a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the basketball court's mine. Everything is yours. Every place in this world, everything about me is yours. Hafoich v'hafoich b'machshava zu. You have to constantly repeat this machshava. Work on your amuna, dekula ba. It's all there. What the Rebbe is saying is emuna, the cognizance of emuna. And I want to talk about emuna for one moment. Then we're going to end. The cognizance of emunah is what everything boils down to. People think emunah is something that's intellectual. Do I know that Hashem exists? Intellectually, is it something that I have come to terms with, haven't come to terms with, that I grapple with? It's not. Emunah is something in your heart. And if it's in your heart, the more you think about it, so the more you feel it. Emunah is a feeling. It's a feeling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to constantly remind yourself of that feeling in order that it should stay fresh. And that is everything, he says. Hafoich ba v'hafoich ba dekula ba. You have to remind yourself of this machshava. This is everything. If a person would stay focused on the fact that I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire world is yours. You created everything. Everything's for the good. All the, you just go over these three lines numerous times in the day, and then you're going to be good. The Gemara says an amazing thing. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu gave us 613 mitzvahs, 611 plus the two Hashem said. And slowly we had to kind of like reduce it. It was reduced by David HaMelech, by Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Kept on being reduced lower and lower. Then the Gemara says, Bo Chavakuk. Chavakuk is one of the Nevi'im. He came. And he reduced it down to one principle. Those 613, it's really just a platform, or it's a launching pad for all of 613. Doesn't mean Chavakuk meant just do only this one, obviously. But he said, this is the foundation of everything. Chavakuk came and he was miming it on just one principle. What's that principle? Does anyone know? Tzadik be'emunasoi yichyeh. You have to live with your emunah. So when the Piyasetzner Rebbe says, this machshava is everything, it's a Gemara. Tzadik be'emunasoi yichyeh. Chavakuk said it all boils down to one thing. So we have to be mechazik our emunah. We have to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere, every second we have to try to do that. And that doesn't mean that a person has to, can't eat, can't sleep, can't play ball. It means adirabba. When you eat and you sleep and you play ball, you do it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you can do that. And your ball will be a different ball. And your eating will be a different eating. I remember, I'm going to end with this, Rabbi Yosef. It was very ironic to me. It was a few years ago, maybe some of you were here. We made an evening of unity. We had some boys, some non-religious boys, who came to play basketball. We went to a basketball court in Kiryat Yovel. There's a big gym, and there's courts outside and inside, and there were games between these non-religious kids and boys from our yeshiva. And everyone knew that we were going for a purpose. And it was a beautiful night, and everyone had a great time, and they were like laughing together and having a good time together, and we even have videos of these non-religious kids saying, wow, these yeshiva boys, they're so nice to play with, it's such a pleasure, and it's wow, and blah, 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 and all that stuff, right? Anyway, so I go one night on a Matzah Shabbos to the football league, and some of the boys from yeshiva, every once in a while, I'll go to show some support. Some of the boys from yeshiva are playing against the same kids in the football league. The difference is that now we're playing to win. We're not playing for God anymore. Now we're playing for ourselves. And these non-religious kids came over to me and said, these are your students? The way they played, so ugly, so aggressive, they were so obnoxious. It was the same kids. The same kids were playing against each other. What happened? What happened was, is if I'm going to play for God, I'm going to do Kiruv, I'll play basketball, I'm playing the game, right? But it's a whole different thing, and I'm going to be nice to them and friendly with them. But once I'm playing for me, so then I'm out to kill. And then I'm going to play dirty, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to scream, I'm going to get all that stuff, because I love God over there. If we just bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu to the equation, we play different. We eat different. What happens when we go into the dining room? It's a whole different charge for the food. I'm sure it'll still be a charge, but it'll be different. If we could just do that, our neshamas just keep coming out, and it's just going to come out. It'll be the most beautiful you've ever imagined. Because Hashem will continue.